Good morning.
All right, that wasn't very good. I've always heard North Carolinians are a lot more friendly than that. Good morning. All right, there we go. Got everybody awake and ready to go. I greatly appreciate the invite to be able to teach before you this morning. And before we really get into the lesson and what we'll be looking at this morning, I do just want to thank you not only for the opportunity, but more so I just want to thank you for taking care of my mom and my dad. Some of you I've met before, some of you are, there's quite a few new faces I'm not overly familiar with. And so if I've not had opportunity to be able to meet you in the past, please take the time to be able to get to meet you, meet my family, or at least most of my family. I have two that are not with us. One son married and in Canada at this time. And then a daughter who needed to stay back home due to some other obligations that she had. But again, I just thank you for all that you do. Thank you for taking care of my mom and dad. I know that's a handful and a big task, but they are wonderful people and they absolutely love the work and love the brethren here. And just again, just thank you so much. I want to thank Mitch for his class this morning. I hope I got your name correct. And I know the pressure was on you for this morning, but you did a great job. And I strongly encourage you to keep working, keep studying. Can I tell you what? It gets easier and easier. The more that you do it, like anything else, it becomes much easier over time. And you have a lot of abilities. That was very clear. So keep up that good work. If you would, open up your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Job. We're going to be looking at Job. So one other thing to mention, and for those who are online, it is great that you're able to tie in online. If I happen to walk away from the camera, you'll have to just forgive me. I have a hard time holding still. I don't stop very often. And so if I do happen to walk away, I'll try to get back where I need to be as we go throughout this morning's lesson. I was trying to decide, as I have opportunity, to be able to talk to a brethren. Some of you I know, some of you I don't. How do I relate to brethren who are living across the country, many hours away? What can we talk about that will hopefully be helpful to you? And one of the things that I've been doing a lot of studying on recently, not only for my own personal sake, but also for some teaching that I've been working on at where I attend in Casey, Illinois, is in dealing with Job. And I'll tell you, as you look at Job, I hope that most of you are familiar with Job. We're not going to do a traditional lesson on just looking at the overall book or some of the things that take place. I'm going to have the assumption at this point that you are at least a little familiar with Job. And if you're not, I'll just give you a very quick summary. He basically is going to be tested in ways that I hope and pray that none of us are ever tested to the limit that he is tested. But God was faithful enough and not only faithful enough, but confident enough in Job to where as Satan came before or was in the presence of God, God made the challenge to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And brethren, I know that in our lives as Christians, hopefully, we are of the character and the mindset and the some of the things we'll be looking at this morning to where God could look at Satan and said, have you considered my servant Gail? Or have you considered my servant Shannon? Or whoever it is, anyone, you fill in that blank. And to be honest, I hope that that doesn't happen because as you read the rest of the book, I hope that I'm never tested to the limits that Job is tested. I mean, to be honest. What he faces is just hard to imagine. And even as a father, you think about a father losing your children. You think about all the many people that are affected all because of this man's faith and the challenge and truthfully, the amount of pressure that Satan can put upon Christians. There's a lot to learn. But at the same time, you know what? God was with him. And when this is all said and done, at the end, as you think about Job, as you think about what transpires throughout this book, you know, Job has a lot of ups and downs. You know, he's a strong, faithful man in God. But even by the end, I mean, he is wearing down. And to be honest, when we think about our lives, as we think about the things that we have faced throughout even the last several years, I don't know your situation, but I can tell you right now where we're from, we have faced a lot of things. We have faced many difficult things from all different sides, from all different ways. We have lost many good friends and brothers and sisters in Christ over the last several years, some due to COVID, some due to other circumstances. And brethren, what we find as we think about life is that is kind of life. And that's the way that it happens sometimes. But what God is teaching us throughout Job and throughout this book, as we get the glimpse of the things that are transpiring in his life, is he gives us a great ability and a great way to be able to know and to realize that no matter what it is that we face, no matter where you're at in your life, whether you are in the midst of trials to where you feel as if the world is caving in around you, or maybe you're somebody on the outside knowing somebody or have seen somebody who is facing that. These are all lessons I believe that will be very helpful to us in realizing how do we overcome that? Because the reality to it is we may be that very person. We may be Job, put in those situations, put in that situation to where we are going to be tested to the limits, to where we just feel like things just can't get worse or things can't just continue to keep going down the pathway it's going. But what we find, and as you can see on the images I've got before you, I put this image on there just because as we think about our country and it's where it was founded, I've always loved this statement. Even though our country seems to be going away from it, that does not mean that we are. And truthfully, in the midst of darkness and the darknesses that we have been facing over the last couple of years, the reality to it is, as Christians, we should of all people be able to be the light, the shining light in the midst of darkness. And as I was even have heard recently, and I don't even remember where the statement came from, but as we understand, light shines even brighter in the midst of darkness. That's who we are. And that should be our lives as Christians. And so as we consider Job, I want us to do, as I stated before, a little bit of a look about kind of a little non-traditional look at how did Job get to the point where he was? How did he withstand the trials that he came up with? Because like I've mentioned, I don't know how about you, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you think that if you had God say, hey, Satan, have you considered? And then you fill your name in. How many of us would be saying, all right, I'm ready to go. Let's do this. I tell you what, I mean, again, maybe we'd hesitate. I would hesitate because I saw what Job went through. But as you think and consider about this, he was a man of great faith. And that was something that became, it was very evident throughout the entire letter as Job is really trying to contemplate. You know, we got several chapters where it talks about the tragedies that could come about in his life because God says, Satan, I will allow you to do these things to him. And so we see those unfold, and then his friends come and don't even recognize him from a distance because he was in such bad shape, not only physically, but also just from inside out. I mean, Job was really, really just in a bad way because of all the things that were being put upon him. But yet we see that really the majority of the book, the majority of the rest of the book of Job is this discussion, almost an interrogation between his friends, and they are friends, but his friends trying to say, Job, why are you going through these things? I mean, you had to have done something absolutely terrible. You had to have done something against God, because I'll tell you right now, faithful people don't face this type of tragedy. They don't face these types of things. And you know what, Job, as he is pondering through this, he said, listen, I know my character. I know the type of person that I am. And I haven't done anything against God. And so something that I want you to pay attention to as we go throughout this morning, and this is what I'm going to direct our minds to, and I encourage you as you have opportunity to do some reading into this yourself, because as you go throughout the book of Job, it's easy for us to look at Job, and we start from this time point where these things are taking place to the end. What is interesting is you study throughout the book of Job is he actually refers to a lot of things that happened before this book was written, talking about his life before these things, reflections of who he was, whether it be his character, the things that he has done. And I want us to look at that because ultimately you do not get to the point to where Job is overnight. We don't just one day decide, you know what, I'm going to be faithful and strong like Job. That is the reality to it is just like anything else. We have to build up to that tolerance. We have to build up to that strength. And I think some of you in here, if I remember correctly, there's some of you that may be runners or some of you may do types of endurance sports. And that's something that I'm pretty familiar with. You cannot just come up off of the couch and decide, you know what, I'm going to go out and I'm going to run a marathon. Now, there might be a few of you that are really tough. I can tell you right now, it's not going to go well for you. You have to build yourself up to do stuff like that. And Job, as you look at his life, you look at the The faith that he had, it did not happen overnight. And if you are a new child in God, don't become discouraged, because the reality to it is, it takes time. And I'm guessing, and I hope, if you've had opportunity to talk to those who have been Christians for a long period of time, even here, you know what? They didn't get there overnight. It took a long time, a lifetime. And even as those who are maybe of an older age, they've spent an entire lifetime looking and searching and trying to grow and again become a man of faith like Job. And so this gives us some initial thoughts and some sights into Job. Oh, excuse me. As we read in this book and as we look at these things together, one of the things that you will notice at the very beginning of chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, and I'll just read this, and I have this on the screen for you. Some of the passages I'll have on here, some of them I won't. Due to time, I'm going to make a lot of references to these, and I encourage you, and I'll just take it that you're going to have some opportunities to read these further on your own. But in Job chapter 1, verse 1, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. You know, as first of all, as we think about the characteristics that are listed here about this is who Job was, again, fill yourself into the blank. You know, in the land of North Carolina, there was an individual's name, and this is who they were. And as you think about his character, and again, this is where a lot of these things start, is have we developed and built our character to the point to where we see in which Job is built, or what his life is built around. He was one who was blameless and upright, as it was stated. He has endeavored to align his life with the pathway and the design that God has set. And God has given us, and he has shown us and taught us, like, this is who I want you to be. There's illustrations that are used in the Bible, and we even talk about it. Maybe even some of you have done this before, but you think about God shaping us and molding us like clay. I don't know how many of you have ever used clay before or tried to mold it. But it is moldable, shapeable, and God is trying to shape us. And what we find is that Job, in his life, and you think about being blameless and upright, he was a man who was trying in every aspect of his life to line itself up with the pathway of God, to line itself up with the plan that God says, this is who, as a Christian, this is a follower of God, this is what you should look like. Job has built his life to look like that. That is why God, when he is able to go before Satan. And again, remember, sometimes we think about it this way, and Satan comes before God and says, hey, I'm going to test your servant Job. But that is not the case at all. God tells Satan, have you considered my servant Job? God puts the challenge in front of Satan, saying, have you considered this man? Because God knew how faithful and again, how aligned Job's life was with him. Job himself, in Job chapter 12 and verse 4, says, I am one mocked by his friends. And this is right after one of his friends tried to make an argument saying, listen, Job, you had to have done something wrong. But Job himself even realizes, not stating that he is a perfect man, but he is even stating that, listen, I'm a man who in my life, my goal, my purpose, my mindset is one to be just and blameless in the sight of God. Now, just ask ourselves this question. When we look at our own lives, when you be honest with yourself, is that the statement that you can make for your own life? I am somebody that is trying to be just. I'm somebody that's trying to be blameless in the sight of God. Now, Job isn't perfect, and we understand that, and Job will even make some of these remarks later on, but there's a difference between perfection, and again, what we find as Christians in our lives is his purpose and goal was to align himself in the righteousness of God. Is that your purpose? Is that your goal? That's Job's goal. That's exactly who he was. Somebody, again, that was a man who was living in and having the mindset of, I am going to do everything I can to be pleasing to God and to align myself with him. It was also stated in chapter 1 and verse 1 that he was one who feared God. If you would turn your Bibles over to Job chapter 12, And I know that there will be quite a few passages, but ultimately, as we go throughout this study, just a quick reference, Job chapter 12, chapter 31 is another chapter. I encourage you to spend a lot of time looking at chapter 31. There are so many valuable lessons that we'll be looking at and pulling through and pulling from as we look at this. But he was one, as characterized in chapter 12, and verse 13, through the end of the chapter. Again, this is one that we're not going to read all of it, but we find that Job is shown to be, again, one who feared God. His attitude towards God, and again, I hope that this is our attitude, is in verse 13 and 14. It says, with him, being God, are wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. That is who God is. Now, he goes throughout the entire rest of that chapter describing in great detail all of his insight, Job's insight, as he is looking to God and understanding that God is the one in control. And he uses a lot of different variations of how to describe that. But brethren, I tell you, we've had so many opportunities over the last couple of years for us to realize and to put our faith in God and realizing, listen, he is the one in control. Have you done that? Because I tell you, it's pretty easy for us in our lives, and we've had a lot of opportunities to fail pretty miserably at that over the last couple of years because of whether you're talking about the COVID virus, whether you're talking about jobs, whether you're talking about economy. It, you know, I don't know how it is here, but I can tell you how it is back home, and I'm pretty sure there's a lot of similarities across the country. And I'll tell you, as we have looked at all of these things, you know, we've been very comfortable in our lives for many years, but yet here we see, here our lives have kind of been uprooted and rocked around a little bit. The question is, do you come back and realize, listen, no matter what we face, God is the one in control. And that's what Job understood this. And he was a man to live by this. And because of this, his life, his direction, his purpose, no matter what it was that came his way, no matter how difficult of a situation he was facing, his direction, his purpose in life, that didn't change. It wasn't altered. And sometimes we have a tendency when things really come at us, when our life is really just taking it for, you know, we're taking a really hard hit. Sometimes it can really change our mindset or maybe even our direction in our minds. But ultimately, we see that no matter what took place, Job says, you know what? I'm going to be faithful to God. And that's what God wants in us. And that's what God wants in our lives. And so, again, this doesn't happen overnight. Now, if you're a new child of God, or if you're a younger Christian or a person in faith, don't become discouraged. First of all, those who are older in faith, those who are more mature, surround yourself, help those who are younger in faith so that they can build up and have and develop this kind of faith. And I hope that as we have gone throughout the midst of these difficult times these last several years, this is something that those who are younger in faith are able to see in those who are older in faith, this confidence in God and realizing, listen, no matter what comes our way, we'll be faithful to God. We'll be okay. And so, again, this doesn't happen overnight. We see that also Job was described as, again, going back to chapter 1 and verse 1, he was one who shunned evil. Now, we live in a time and a place where we are, as mankind has been throughout all of time, really, we've been surrounded by evil, a lot of opportunities to do what is wrong. If you turn your Bibles over to chapter 31 with me, Job chapter 31, there's just several things I want us to just understand and to consider. When we think about the decision to make good choices, whether you are trying to do that in your own life, trying to teach our children, how do you make good decisions when mom and dad aren't around? Brethren, these are some valuable lessons that Job teaches us, what he teaches us about our lives and what he did in his life. First of all, in chapter 31 and verse 1, we're going to start there. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? For what is the allotment of God from above and the inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is it not destruction for the wicked and disaster for the workers of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and count all of my steps? If I have walked with falsehood, or if my foot has hastened to deceit, let me be weighed on honest scales that God may know my integrity. If my step has turned from the way, or my heart walked after my eyes, or if any spot adheres to my hands, then let me sow and another eat. Yes, let my harvest be rooted out. And if my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I have lurked at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind for another and let others bow down over her, for that would be wickedness. Yes, it would be iniquity, deserving of judgment, for that would be a fire that consumes to destruction and would root out all of my increase. You know, as Job is talking and just I'll make this point right now just so that it fills you in, because obviously you may not have had an opportunity to study Job as much as I have been recently. But as you look at this entire chapter, he's making an argument, and he's making these statements and saying, listen, if I would have done these things, then I would have understood why I'm facing some of these difficult times, why I'm facing some of these horrendous things that have happened in my life. But he hasn't. And you know what? We go back to chapter 31 when you think about his mindset. This is a mindset I hope that we have all made as Christians, as followers of God. Starting back in verse 1, he says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. And brethren, that really is where a lot of this starts. Have you made that covenant not only with your eyes, but ultimately when you think about making that covenant with your eyes, it's ultimately making the covenant with your heart and saying, listen, I will not follow after these sinful things. I am not going to be looking on to things that I should not be looking at. I'm not going to be chasing in the regards to what he is stating. I'm not going to be chasing after younger women. I'm not going to allow my lust to take hold of me, but I have made a covenant with my eyes to follow after God. And brethren, that's where it starts. Have you made that covenant with God? Have you made that promise? And not only have you made that promise, but are you sticking to that promise? I tell you, it's very easy for us to think in our minds that, listen, I'm going to be true to myself. I'm going to be true to this covenant, this promise that I've made to God, that I'm going to follow after him. But when push comes to shove, have you done it? And you know what helps Job and what even helps us is he goes down just a few verses below this. If you look in verse 3 and verse 3, and I encourage if you are somebody that likes to underline or highlight in your Bible, mark this. Is it not destruction for the wicked and disaster for the workers of iniquity? Do you remember that, you know, if I choose to no longer follow after the covenant that I've made with my eyes to be faithful and to shun away from these evil things, what's going to be the end result of that? And Job is just simply telling us, listen, I understand that if I break that covenant, that God has already told me in the path that I have now chosen when I decide to go away from God, it is a pathway of destruction. But you know what also helps him to understand and keep this in mind is look at what verse 4 says. And this is something that we try to teach our children. Do you always remember, and even as adults, how many times do we fail to remember this? Because in all reality, if we stop and really think about this, this helps us so much in trying to overcome these temptations. But he says in verse 4, does he not see my ways and count all of my steps? Do you realize that God knows and sees everything, not only that you do, but he even knows what's in your heart and in your mind? He knows those things. And that should really help us in trying to overcome and, again, stay faithful to the covenants that we have made. Again, shunning these evil, going back to you again, the promise that Job had made. I've made a covenant with my eyes. I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to be true to the promises that I've made. And we see that Job was true to that. Satan tried in all the ways that he could to try to disrupt, to try to get Job to not be faithful to this promise, this covenant, whether it be talking about the sin that he may have tempted him with. But Job said, listen, I've made a promise to God. And all of us who are Christians, when we became a child of God, we made that promise that Jesus Christ will be the number one in our lives, that he is going to be the one whom I follow and I serve. Are we staying steadfast to that promise? Are we looking forward to Jesus? Are we focusing upon him to where, again, we realize that we have made this covenant, this promise, and we will not betray that promise and that covenant? And so that's really something to think about. You know, I wrote this up here, when you would just think about his life, he was a man who lived day by day, and his goal and his purpose was to please God. That was that covenant. That was that promise. And brethren, I mean, I don't want to make it complex because it really isn't, but that's as simple as it gets. Our purpose, our life, our goals is to please God. When we think about the life that Job had, I will make reference to this, and I've got it written up here for you. And this is just a part of what he is stating. And again, going back to saying, as he is saying these things, again, if I had done these things, that I would understand why God was allowing these things to come about in my life. But you know what Job doesn't speak about is he's not perfect. Although as we read about Job, as we look at Job, we look at his life, You talk about a great example. I hope that we can live up to the kind of standard that Job lived up to. But as you look at this, he says, if I have covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding my iniquity in my bosom, because I feared the great multitude and dreamed the contempt of families, so that I kept silence and did not go out of the door. He is making the argument. He's like, you know, I understand if I'm facing these things because I've tried to hide my sin. But you know what? Job was very confident in saying, listen, I know my life. I know who I am. I'm very confident in who I am. I am not perfect, but I live for God. I live for him, and I know very well that I have not betrayed that promise or that covenant. And so, brethren, as we think about our lives, we think about, again, the life that he lived. He was a man that understood that he was imperfect, which is why, as we think about back in chapter 1 and verse 5, now this is specifically talking about his sacrifices that he makes for his children and their sins. But he says in verse 5, so it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them. And he'd rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. This was his life. His life revolved around his relationship with God. He knew he wasn't perfect. He knew his children wasn't perfect. But he was doing everything he could to, again, humble himself in the presence of God, realizing that he was an imperfect man trying to live up to the standard of God. And this is why, as we really think about this, this is why God could look at Satan and make that challenge. And brethren, that really, again, rings out so true to us in our lives. Is can God look at our lives? Can God look at our heart and know full well that that is the purpose and the plan and the desire that we have, that is at the core and the center of our life every day that we wake up, we start our day, we get ready to go throughout the day. Is it all about us, or is it our lives, what it revolves around? Is it about God? With Job, it was about God. And that's why God was able to have this type of confidence. Again, this does not happen overnight. This is not something that just takes place. Now, this next chart image that I have up here, I'm going to go ahead and just pull it up there. And for those who are taking notes, I encourage you to write this down and take time to study this. But when you think about the character of Job, I find these passages fascinating. First of all, we understand from chapter 1 that God had blessed him greatly. And that was one of the things that Satan even brings up about, you know, well, haven't you just surrounded him in this hedge of safety, and you've given him this abundance of things physically and also this great family and all these things? And God says, okay, take that away from him, but he will not turn away from me. And he didn't. Job was true to that. And we find that he was a man of great wealth. But I'll tell you, it's interesting when you consider, and I'll just read for you very briefly, when you think about why God could still confidently say, listen, it's not because I've put these great blessings around him that he is faithful to me. Job even says in chapter 31 and verse 24, if I had made gold my hope or said to find gold, you are my confidence. If I rejoiced because of my wealth was great and because of my hand had gained much, if I had observed the sun when it shines or the moon moving in brightness so that my heart has been secretly enticed and my mouth has kissed my hands, this also would have been an iniquity deserving the judgment, for I would have denied God who is above. Job just makes it very clear. Listen, I understand that if I'd have made all these physical things that God had blessed me with, if that is what my life is about, then I would understand why these things came about. But that wasn't it at all. And henceforth, why we, by the time we get to chapter 31 and he's making these arguments to his friends, it says, listen, I don't even have these things anymore. That's not going to change my faith in God. And I tell you, we've been through a lot of things here in the last couple of years, and I don't know how it's affected you. I know there's plenty of people in my area who it has affected. But yet when we lose things, when we don't have maybe the same blessings or abundance of physical things that we've had before, what does that do to our lives? What does that do to our faith? Hopefully, we just kind of, I'm going to use this term very loosely, we kind of just shrug it off as Job did and said, you know what, so be it. God created us out of the dust. We're going to return to the dust. And all these things disappear. No big deal. And that really is what God's tried to teach us. But we also see that he was a man of great influence. And I found these passages, and I encourage you to write these down. He was a great man of influence because, and from what I've read and from what you even read through here, it seems like at this time of day, and some of the things that I've read, they believe that this is probably during some of the times and maybe the times around Abraham, maybe in between the times of Abraham and Adam. But as you look at this, it appears that this is probably not just an easy time where people can just live and things are just in abundance. But there's plenty of talk where he talks about how he has helped others. His friends talk about how much he spent and how much he has done to help other people, to help people who are in need, whether it be widows, whether it be poor, how he treated those who were servants. You know, he did not have this attitude that he was just this great man, but instead he used the blessings that God had blessed him with to help any and everyone. And he says, listen, I would even understand if these things came about me because I did not help them. But he makes the argument that I've helped everyone I possibly can help. I've done everything that I can, and I've tried to make sure that I don't miss anyone. Is that the kind of attitude that we have towards people? And again, it speaks to the character, the person that he truly was deep down inside. He wasn't living for himself, but he was living for God, and he was living for other people. He wanted to help. He looked to help other people. And I'll just read this with you. Job chapter 29, if you turn your Bibles over there with me, Job chapter 29, I thought these passages here were fascinating to me, because you want to talk about, again, thinking about who Job was. And this is actually some of the things that he stated. And this would have been difficult, because at this point in time, as he is saying these things, it probably wasn't so. Because as those who were looking around, even as his friends had been looking, they didn't recognize him. He was in terrible shape physically. He had boils all over. He would have, again, been using ash and pottery, just trying to get some comfort from himself from these boils. But, you know, he reflects back upon kind of his life. And let me read with you verse 7 and a few verses down here through these verses. And it says in verse 7 of chapter 29, when I went out of the gate by the city, when I took my seat in the open square, the young men saw me and hid. And the aged arose and stood. The princes refrained from talking and put their hand on their mouth. The voice of the nobles was hushed, and their tongues stuck to the roof of their mouth. And when the ear heard, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw, then it approved me. He's reflecting back upon how people listened to him. He was the type of man and individual that when he came into a room, people stopped to listen. And I tell you, I don't know if you've been around individuals like this. I've known quite a few individuals this way, and they are not, I just want to say, you know, we think about sometimes in our culture, in our day and age, if somebody really powerful and, you know, were to come in, we'd be all just paying really close attention. But have you ever been around brothers or sisters in Christ who they, not out of arrogance, not out of this great attitude that of look how great I am, but Job, as he walked into the room, he was one of those who you look at him and just know, look at the wisdom of this man. Look how God-fearing and the direction and the purpose that he had. It was very clear. And to Job, as you think about all of this, you know, he did not make it something, again, to where he was this great person. You should listen when I speak. But because he put God first, and because God's wisdom is what directed his footsteps, when we allow the wisdom of God be where our wisdom is and what we refer people back to, if people are smart and they will listen because they are listening to God, not because of the person necessarily saying it, but saying, listen, this is what God is trying to teach us. And that was the kind of person Job was, the type of individual who, again, was trying to be pleasing to God. If you also look in chapter 31, and I'm just going to briefly mention this because I know I'm running out of time. But when you think about his attitude towards other people, it is a fascinating read to read Job chapter 31, verse 15 through 23. And I'll allow you to read this, but it describes, and I have written up here just in my own summary, but it just talks about his justness and his compassion that he had towards any and all individuals. It didn't matter who you were, whether you were just another person of his country, whether you were a servant, whether you were a widow, whether you were somebody that was poor, it didn't matter. Job cared about people. And when you consider our attitude and you consider what God is trying to teach us as the New Testament church, as people, God has been trying to teach mankind this principle and this value from the beginning of time. And I hope what we have found over the last, even the last couple of years, is we have had even more opportunities to where these attitudes should shine in a midst to where we live in a country that at least, and I'm hoping that it's gotten a little bit better. I can't speak to this area because I haven't been here long enough to really get much of a feel for it, but to where we, as we go around, realizing that we are people that care for other people. Because I know that at least initially when all this stuff started happening, there was so much fear to where people stuck to themselves and pretty much just cast everybody else aside. Now, I hope that's not what we did as Christians, but that's what the world's done. And I tell you, we have great opportunities to be able to do great things for so many people, and especially in the times of great darkness or times of great distress in the lives of people. There's so many opportunities for the light of God to be shown. And I want us to point out in verse 23 of chapter 31, because, and again, why did Job have this mindset and attitude? What prompted him? What helped him? You know, he says in verse 23, and I don't think this is all of it, but he certainly brings this out. For destruction from God is a terror to me. Destruction from God is a terror to me. And because of his magnificence, I cannot endure. Brethren, the reality to it is that when we consider ourselves and we consider our lives and our choices and our actions, everything revolves around our understanding who God really is. It's very easy for us to push God to the background and sometimes not realize or sometimes not remember who he is. We get so busy and so focused upon our lives and upon our business and upon the things that we are doing, upon our own desires. But the reality to it is when we put God in the place that he is deserving, and when we consider the path, what happens when we depart from God, again, this should prompt us to make the right decisions. Job feared God. So ultimately, what can we learn from Job? When we consider what Job teaches us, he lives with a purpose. His purpose was for God, and he lived this day by day. It wasn't a day. It wasn't a Wednesday and a Sunday or whatever nights that you guys have a weekly Bible class. It wasn't just a showing up every so often, but this was his life. And you know what's impressive? And you can, it kind of makes you wonder. You, for those who have studied the book of Job, it's a long book. I mean, you can spend a lot of time studying throughout the whole book. Lots and lots of arguments back and forth. But you know what? Throughout all of this, his friends, and I use the term interrogation, they are relentless in saying, listen, Job, I'm telling you right now, whatever you're saying, you did not sin, but this type of stuff does not happen to the faithful people. So you got to be wrong somewhere. We just got to figure it out. And I'll tell you, that would be so difficult if you're in Job's shoes. But at the same time, Job was so confident in knowing. And he says in chapter 10, verse 7, you know I am not wicked. And brethren, I tell you, do you have the confidence to be able to say that in your own heart, your own life? If you're doing an honest evaluation for yourself, are you living faithfully to God? You're the one that can answer that better than anybody else. Are you faithful before God? Chapter 23, verse 11 and 12, my foot has held fast to his steps. Job talks about it, and again, is very confident. Listen, I have tried to walk the pathway that God is directing my footsteps, and I have done it to the utmost of my ability. I have walked step by step, trying everything that I can to walk faithfully before God. I have not departed, in verse 12, from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You think about the significance of that statement. Job made it the priority in his life. I am going to walk faithfully before God. And I'll tell you, brethren, the last passage you will look at, and I'll just leave the lesson to you, is chapter 13 and verse 15. And I'll tell you, think about the magnitude of this statement. He says, though he may slay me, though God may slay me, even though we know, looking back, and again, you have to remember, Job had no idea what was going on. Job said, even if through all of these things I die, what was his statement of confidence? He says, yet will I trust him. There is nothing that is going to come about in my life that is going to cause me to depart from my faith in God. What a profound statement. So strong. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. Job knew who he was. Job knew who God was. And because of this great faith in God, because of this great faith in who God is, we see that Job's life was completely shaped and revolved around the footsteps that follow after God. So going back full circle to the very beginning of the questions that I've asked, when you think about how was God able to have such confidence to challenge Satan and say, have you considered my servant Job? He was able to do this with such confidence because this is the type of individual Job had shaped his life to be. Does not happen overnight. And so my question is for you, is this who you're trying to shape your life to be after? Have you built your faith upon God, upon the foundation and upon the knowledge of who God is? The confidence in him to know that, listen, no matter what you face, and that's one of the great lessons that we think about here as we even had in our scripture reading this morning, talking about Daniel and his friends, the things that they got, they faced in the midst of a foreign nation, in the midst of a foreign people, in a place that they were not even surrounded by God's people. So they could have pretty much in their own minds done whatever they wanted and no one would have questioned. But yet, what did they say? We are going to be faithful to God because this is what God wants. Do you have that kind of faith? Is that who you are? If you are not a child of God at this point, we really haven't talked a whole lot about becoming a child of God, but I'll tell you what, we'd love to sit down and we'll study. We'll look at God's word together and we'll look at what he says and we'll follow you. We'll teach you and show you the pathway that God is asking for us to follow, that wants us to follow, what he has designed us for. He's given us a purpose. We have a purpose. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe some of these things are things that you've been really struggling with because right now, maybe you are under that real pressure, that trials, those burdens that just really feel like they can just grind away at your life to where you're exhausted, to where you just don't feel like you can keep taking a step forward. Brethren, I think Job was getting to the point to where he was feeling that way. But you know what God told him? And God answers that question because Job did ask that question. Why are these things happening to me? And you know what God's answer was? He didn't explain, well, here's why this is taking place. Man, that's because I challenged Satan. God never tells him. And as far as we know, Job never knew or understood why he had to face these things. But you know what God simply asked him? He asked him a question. Job, where were you when? And then he goes on several chapters to describe all these great things in the creation, all these things that came about that God was a part of, that God was making it really clear. There are so many things going on that you are unaware of. And Job simply says, I wish I never had spoken. I will put my faith and my trust in you. Brethren, I challenge you this morning. If you're struggling, just stay faithful. Put your faith in God because he is stronger than anything that you can face. Do you think about what Paul tells the Philippians about the peace of God? Brethren, we have had opportunity to consider and to be able to put our faith in the peace of God, which he tells us it is surpassing our understanding. If you're here this morning, I encourage you and I challenge you, take on with confidence that peace of God. You don't have to understand everything, but realize that God is there. He's in control. He is always in control. Put your faith in him. If there is here anything that we can do, and even if it is just praying with you this morning, I invite you to come forward as we are led in this song at this time. Brother John.